The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 3rd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Thursdays are busy around here. You know that. We got a lot to get to on the show today. We got a lot of people to talk to on the show today. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up at 2:30. We'll get his thoughts on Auburn and their loss last week, I guess is the nice way to put it, against Oklahoma, and what he's expecting as the Tigers hit the road for the first time. They head to Georgia this weekend. Want to talk to him about the Auburn-Georgia rivalry a little bit. Plus, get into a couple of other Auburn things with Brad Law. So that's coming up at 2:30. We have Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge will be back with us this week. Didn't have him on a week ago since there was no game to talk about. Auburn was supposed to play at Moody last Thursday. That did not happen. And so we'll pick back up with Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us at 3 o'clock as Auburn takes on Central tomorrow night. Yes, Auburn and Central tomorrow night. So looking forward to that as well. And then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He will join us at 3:30 as he does each and every Thursday. So looking forward to getting his thoughts on what happened from a week ago and the games coming up this weekend. I know that's a lot of guests. That's a lot going on this Thursday. But up until then, in between then, after those, you can be a part of the show, and I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts going into today, your thoughts going into the game this weekend, and hey, we have recruiting news we need to talk about. Deuce Knight officially flips. It happened at about 6:30 last night. Deuce Knight has flipped his commitment. He is now officially an Auburn Tiger. He's been committed to Notre Dame for quite some time, and we know he's been in Auburn a ton, and he's been coming back for games and back for games and back for games, and seems like he was playing some games is what it felt like with Auburn there for a while, but it does ultimately happen. The quarterback is going to be an Auburn Tiger. So we'll talk about that today, and I know you got thoughts. So 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. Well, it seems to be a light in this darkness of a season that we're going through right now for Auburn when you pick up a big-time commitment in the 2025 class, and not just a big-time commitment, it's a quarterback commit. And look, some of you are asking, can Deuce Knight play right now? I mean, can this kid put on a helmet, show up, and play on Saturday for Auburn? Well, as much as we wish he could, that is not going to happen. And for Auburn's future, right, for the future of this program, we've all decided, and we've all realized, at least on this side of things, that a quarterback must be had. You have to go get a dynamic, game-changing quarterback. That's the term I used earlier today when I visited with Doug Amos. I said Auburn needs a game-changing quarterback, and I think Deuce Knight can be that. I think he can be that when he walks in to this quarterback room next season. And Doug was asking me if I think he could come in and compete for the starting job. Absolutely. He could compete for the starting job right now if he were to be able to play college football. And you bring that guy into this quarterback room, and you have yourself a chance, right? You have a chance now, looking ahead, looking forward, not to look past this year, but you start looking and thinking for next year. which is that coveted year three. That's that all-important year three for Hugh Freeze and for any coach at a college football program. You feel like you have the quarterback that you've been waiting for. We knew we were going to get somebody. I guess we were hoping we were going to get somebody. Whether it was Julian Lewis or Deuce Knight, or there were a couple of others floating around as well. But Deuce Knight seemed to be the one that picked up the most steam, the one that seemed to be building. And then here you are, second day of October. Yesterday, he flips from Notre Dame to Auburn. And this was expected. I mean, this has been building for so long. But Auburn now feels they have the quarterback of the future. They feel like Deuce Knight could be that guy. And he better be. That's what I'm saying. He better be the quarterback of the future, because if he's not, then Auburn's in trouble. Unless they go and get somebody in the transfer portal. And this was something that got brought up during the Max Roundtable that I want to pick back up the conversation I was having with Doug. Because here's how I see it. And I've been quoted as saying this before. In this day and age, in this era of college football that's evolving by the minute, it seems like, you cannot afford to fall short in the talent conversation at the quarterback position. You cannot afford, if you are a head coach nowadays in college football, I don't care what level it's at, but talking specifically Power 4 football, you can't afford to not have a good quarterback, because it's proven that it is a necessity to be successful. You have to have a good quarterback. You have to have a game-changing dude at the quarterback spot. Because if you don't, you see the results. You see what happens when you don't have that guy. And you do see what happens when you do have that guy. That's the difference. Sure, there are other talent gaps between Auburn and other programs right now. But look at the quarterback that Alabama has. Look at the quarterback that Georgia has. Heck, look at the quarterback LSU has. Or any other team in the SEC. That's what separates you from being great or good, or being good or bad. It's having a legit quarterback. And so Auburn feels that they just picked that up with Deuce Knight. But guess what? He can't play this week. He can't play this year. So you've got to find out and figure it out the rest of the way. But where I'm going with this is you can't afford year in and year out to struggle at the quarterback spot. You can get all the fancy receivers you want. You can get all the running backs you want. You can build that offensive line. That's great. But if you don't have a dude who can win, who's manning your offense, that it doesn't matter. And for Auburn, and for Hugh Freeze, especially this year in year two, I just go back to the decision to not get a portal quarterback. And I continue to ask myself, why? Why did you not get somebody? Why did you hesitate and not want to spend the money to go get somebody? Was it so you could give that money to Deuce Knight? I don't know. Was it so you could make sure you got all those receivers to throw the ball to? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. Hey, let's get all these great receivers, but let's not put a quarterback that can throw it to them. Great idea. They'll be gone within a year. So I still question that. But what I'm going to state right now, I cannot say this loud enough. That can't happen again. Auburn cannot do this again. You cannot gamble and lose on the quarterback room, because Hugh Freeze did this just that. He gambled last spring. He gambled this summer. He gambled this fall. He said, we got a lot of talent on this team. Got great receivers. Defense is good. They're young, but they're good. I like my coaching staff. I think we're talented enough to get by. And the quarterback room, it's not good. He knew it. He knew it wasn't going to be great. I think he believed it was going to be better than it is. But he knew it wasn't a championship level quarterback room. And nobody was expecting it to be that. But he was trying to just get by. He thought to himself, if I can survive this year with mediocre quarterback play, I'm going to get my dude, I'm going to get my guy in high school recruiting, and we're going to rock and roll in year three. Well, that didn't work out. Because now you're 2-3, good chance of 2-4, good chance of 2-5, and you're not even going to make a bowl game. Because you gambled on the quarterback room and you lost. You swung and you missed. There's no reason for that nowadays. There's no reason to do that anymore. I get it. 15 years ago, yeah, you probably limit yourself. And you say, you know what, I believe in my guys. And NIL was not a thing. Right, so we're going to make sure we have enough guys on the offensive line. Let's get a scholarship to use on that. Or, I don't want to scare all these other guys away. I don't want to make them upset, so let me just keep the three that we have. No, to heck with that. That ideology is so far in the past. That's a purist way to think, and it's gone. It's over. Don't think that way. In this day and age, with NIL and transfer portal, there should never be a question in your quarterback room. There should never be a question of talent in your quarterback room. Maybe that's a better way to say that. There should never be the question, well, I don't know if they're talented enough. Guess we'll have to see. Now, you can have questions on execution, sure, because you don't know that until you get on the field. But there should never be that question of, man, I just don't know if we have a lot of talent in there. And if you could have asked Hugh Freeze this past spring behind closed doors off air, said, man, how talented do you think this room is? And ask him to humbly tell you, honestly tell you, truth serum, right? I think he'd tell you they were an average quarterback room. Which is why I don't understand not going to get one. The good news is, I don't think we made that mistake anymore because you bring in a guy like Deuce Knight. But Doug asked me earlier, he says, even with Deuce Knight, him and Jake asked me this. They said, even with Deuce Knight, do they go and get a transfer portal quarterback this offseason? And my answer to that question is I hope they do. I hope so. Because why would you not? And I open that question up to you, the listener, 334-321-1390, even though Auburn now has Deuce Knight committed, should they go and get a transfer portal quarterback this offseason? Why or why not? Because Peyton Thorne's gone. There's a good chance somebody else will transfer. We don't know who. But who do you think stays and leaves? That's another conversation. But even with Deuce Knight, do you believe that Auburn should go and get somebody out of the portal? I think they should. Because there's no reason not to. There's no hurt. It's not going to harm you in any way to go get somebody. It ain't your money, Hugh. It's the fans. It's the donors. It's the collective. They're the ones spending money. Go get somebody. And whether they're going to start or not, let the competition decide that. Let the competition decide that. Because I just don't see the downside and going to get somebody. 334-321-1390. Tell you what, let's go ahead and get to an early break. We got some phone calls to get to when we get back. John, you're going to be first up when we come back. We'll take our first break here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. John, you're on the line, my man. What's up?
Hey, Jacob. You're absolutely right. I do think Auburn goes after a transfer quarterback. Look at the difference Lambert Smith made in that wide receiver room.
Sure.
Having a veteran in there. When everybody was thinking Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson could run that room, you need a veteran leader in there. But I tell you what, I know you guys have a lot of analysts on. I think Peyton Thorne is poised for a breakout game this Saturday against Georgia, and I can explain why just very easily.
Go for it.
We're wearing white on Saturday, Jacob. I was in Jordan Hare last weekend. You know, Peyton hit the guy in white for a game-winning touchdown. and you know, he's been doing that, and so is Hank Brown. I tell you what, there's a toilet paper shortage, and the news has all these kind of stories about it. It's because Kirby has seen that on film. He's scared.
That's a heck of a theory there, John. And you know, so let me ask you this. Do you firmly believe that Peyton Thorne's going to have a good day, or is it just for the joke?
Brian Kelly at LSU. You know, they always wear white. Can you imagine how good Peyton Thorne would be there?
I know. Hate to not have them on the schedule this year, huh?
Absolutely. Hey, have a good one. Have a great show.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. He brings up a good point, though, about KLS. A guy that has become the number one option for whichever quarterback plays for the Auburn offense. How about that? He's become the number one option for this Auburn offense. And you bring him in. Remember when the Penn State people tried to convince us that he was a terrible dude? He was had bad attitude, was a bad player, and good riddance, right? Well, that's what everybody says when they lose their best player. And Auburn went and snatched him out of the transfer portal. And he has now become, again, the go-to option when throwing the football, and has kept Auburn in games single-handedly a couple of times this year. But you brought him in, and the positive people at Penn State said he's a heck of a leader. He's a really good dude, has good leadership. Is he going to blow you away with his athleticism and receiving skills? No, maybe not, but they told us he was a really good leader. And you look at what Auburn's getting right now out of him, he's getting both. Auburn's getting both out of him. Auburn is getting a really good receiver, and what I hear is a really good leader, where he came in and I believe he makes the receivers around him better. Now, are the receivers playing their best right now this season? No. But I do think he makes them better. And that was by bringing in an older veteran guy to step into a room full of young, talented guys. And there's nothing wrong with that. So to get back to my question, again, I open this up to you, 334-321-1390, is even with the commitment of Deuce Knight, as awesome as it is, as exciting as it is, with the potential that he's going to bring to Auburn, should Auburn go and get somebody in the transfer portal? Should they get a quarterback this offseason? My answer is yes. They absolutely should. Now, will they? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. They should have last year, and they didn't. So my batting average isn't very good right now. But I think they should, because it can't hurt. And you go and bring in a veteran somewhere, whoever, I don't even know, I'm not even going to try and start naming names, because we have no idea what that's going to look like at the end of this season. But you bring in a seasoned guy, a veteran guy, who has started for 4 years somewhere, and you bring him in just to boost the competition a little bit. Look, here's a perfect example. Look at Indiana right now. That's a 5-0 football team. They bring in a quarterback who started 4 years at Ohio, and now Indiana's 5-0. They brought in a veteran to a quarterback room they felt pretty good about, and he came in and he's starting, and now they're 5-0. Will that happen at Auburn? I don't know. What I'm saying is, you go get somebody, and it's not even a stressful pickup. Like, there's no pressure on him starting. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say here? Let's play this game for a second. Auburn ends the season. They're a 5-win football team. Everybody's upset. Everybody's mad. But good news is, Deuce Knight's on the way. That's everybody's mindset. That's everybody's thought process. Everything's fine. Deuce Knight will be here soon. But let's say that Hugh Freeze and this staff, they go and find somebody in the portal. A quarterback, don't know who, don't know where from, doesn't matter in this conversation. They go and get somebody. If Deuce Knight was not a thing, right, you would say, well, yeah, Auburn should absolutely go get somebody in the portal. They have to go get a starter in the portal in the offseason, if Deuce Knight didn't happen, or Julian Lewis, or whoever. If Auburn had not picked up a quarterback recruit for 2025, everybody would be in agreement that you have to go get somebody. And not only go get somebody, but you have to go get a starter. Well, thankfully, that's not the case anymore. That's not where we're at now. Where we're at now is you have Deuce Knight, you have whoever hangs around in the room, and you then get to go get somebody out of the portal who could be a starter, but the pressure of them having to be the starter is not there. That doesn't exist. It's a win-win situation. You go get somebody, they either start or they don't. And it doesn't matter. There's no pressure of this season rides on this transfer quarterback. Aren't you tired of feeling that way, Auburn fans? Aren't you tired of picking up a high school senior, now college freshman, or a transfer portal quarterback and saying, well, hope he works out because that's all we got? I'm tired of being in that spot too, man. I'm ready to be in a spot where there are multiple good guys in there, and the question is, which one's better? Which one's better? Which one helps us win more games? Which one beat out the other one? Rather than, well, he's the best choice we have. He's the best option available. That's all we got. I hate that. That's not any fun, man. That's a bad spot to be as a football team. And you're seeing that play out in front of our eyes right now. So why not go get one? You're not going to hurt Deuce Knight's feelings. He's okay. He's a big boy. He'll be all right. You're not going to hurt anybody else's feelings in the room. And just because you went and paid Deuce Knight doesn't mean you can't go pay somebody else out of the transfer portal. Welcome to college football. Welcome to modern 2024 college athletics. If you're not happy with who's on your team, go buy one. Go pay for somebody else. It's really that simple. And don't tell me it's not. You want to win? You're going to have to pay for it. That's where we are. And so if all of those things happen, Auburn's quarterback room will be in a better spot than it's been in quite some time. Deuce Knight, insert transfer quarterback here, right? Whoever that's going to be. And then my guess, I don't know this, but my guess on who hangs around, Peyton's gone. I think Hank will stay. Walker, maybe. I think Holden's probably gone. But if you can somehow hang on to Hank Brown and Walker White on top of a transfer, on top of Deuce Knight, then you probably feel pretty good about your quarterback room. None of those are a guarantee, of course. But that gives you a lot of optimism going into year three under Hugh Freeze, does it not? Does that not give you some excitement for what the offense could be moving forward? I think a lot of that depends on which receivers stay, which running backs stay, who you bring in, right? And we know that saga's still not over. I've heard a lot about Caleb Cunningham. I'll be honest, I don't think he ends up at Auburn, but you never know. So Auburn still has work to do. You've got a lot of dudes in that 25 class who are either committed or could be. But if all this plays out the way that it could, I'm not going to say should, but could, then I think you should have a lot of optimism going into 2025, which is where Hugh Freeze is going to have to be. He has to have that going into 2025 because you ain't going to get it from how this season ends. I promise. Nobody's going to be optimistic for year three after this season's done based off of this season's results. That's not going to happen because I just have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better here. Maybe not, but October's not easy. Not this October. And so all of that put together, there are steps that can be taken for Auburn to boost the optimism to make this a competitive football team. Hugh Freeze didn't do it a year ago. I'm saying don't make the same mistake twice. All right, when we come back, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, he'll join us. We'll recap Auburn-Oklahoma. We'll talk Auburn-Georgia, plus some other Auburn things as well. That's coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we get to the phone lines because this guy joins us every Thursday at 2:30. It's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, great to have you back on the show, my man, and you guys are getting ready for a road trip for the first time this year.
Yeah, we're going to finally put some miles on the old vehicles and head east over to Athens and see if Auburn can continue to play well offensively but hang on to the ball. And if they do that, then, hey, they could make some national headlines on Saturday. It's a big opportunity.
Well, lots to get to here during our time together, and I know that it's Thursday, and a lot of people have moved on from the Auburn and Oklahoma game, and so rather than diving super super deep into that, I want to start by asking you this: do you believe that Auburn played their best game last weekend against Oklahoma in the five games we've seen this season? Do you subscribe to the line of thinking that they played their best game on Saturday?
Overall, relative to the competition, yes. I mean, it's hard to play a whole lot better than 73-3 in the opener, but but against better competition, overall, yes. I mean, there's still obviously plenty of things to clean up, and things that they did clean up in that game that had been problems, but then they had other issues, and so. You know, they haven't played anywhere near, I don't think, as well as they can play this season. I still think we haven't seen the best yet out of this team this year. But, yeah, probably the most overall sound game relative to the competition. Yeah, I would say so.
And with that, though, because I agree with you that we haven't seen the best of Auburn yet, the problem with that is, and what Auburn fans have pointed out, is the month of October is tough, right? It's all away from home. You have Athens, you have Como, Lexington. You do get a bye week in there, but it's hard to start playing your best football when you're going to be playing the toughest competition you've seen so far.
Well, and the good news is you don't play all those three teams at once. You don't play a super team conglomerate of Kentucky, Missouri, and Georgia. And you know, you play this thing one game at a time. And when it comes time to kick off at 2:45 Saturday afternoon, you know, a 2-3 team versus a 3-1 team, that's why we say records are meaningless, because it won't really matter. It'll matter if the 11 on the field in the white can execute against the 11 on the field in red. And, you know, what I see in this matchup, and that's how you have to do it. Like, you can look at rankings and you can look at, you know, records. And
sure.
But at the end of the day, what do the matchups say? Where do you have the advantages? Can you take advantage of areas where, you know, you might have an edge? Can you minimize the areas where they have an edge? I look at Georgia and I see a team that, until the second half against Alabama, had been pretty average offensively. They've not scored a point in the first quarter against the three FBS opponents they've played this year. They've scored 13 or 16 points maybe total in the first half against FBS opponents. This is a matchup Saturday where I think that, you know, this is not the lopsided matchup that it's been the last couple of times Auburn has gone to Athens. When I look at the matchup on paper, and again, to reiterate, to come back home to the point, that's what matters this week is one game against Georgia. If they're not playing three games, they're not playing all these road games on one Saturday. It's one at a time.
When you look at this Auburn team, and I like where you're heading with that in terms of matchups and what Auburn can try to I don't know, expose from Georgia and take advantage of with Georgia. I mean, I think defensively the team played yet another really good game a week ago. Yes, it was a depleted Oklahoma offense, but they still did their job yet again. And yeah, I think that Georgia offense is threatening. There's no doubt. You saw that against Alabama in the second half, but I agree. I think Auburn can hang with Georgia in terms of our defense versus their offense. Yeah.
Well, they have three or four guys on the offensive line that'll probably play in the NFL, and they give Carson Beck a lot of time. And I think he showed last week in the second half of their game in Tuscaloosa that he's continuing to mature. And you know, a lot of people earned a lot of respect from people that maybe weren't ready to give it to him yet with his performance in the second half last week. But their offense is interesting. They don't have one receiver in the top 10 in the SEC in yards per game. That's because they kind of split it between Anais Smith and the Missouri transfer. So, you know, between them, those guys have 400-something yards on the year. But they have the fewest rushing attempts of any team in the SEC. They just don't run it that much. And some of that's because they've been a little behind against Kentucky and against Alabama. The majority of games needed to pass. But, you know, still, with 3-4 NFL offensive linemen and ETN in the backfield, you would expect them to be a more run-heavy team. They're not. Auburn's secondary is going to be challenged. But it's not just an offense that blows you off the field. There are opportunities there to maybe get a pass rush and let some of those guys that you believe in the secondary go make some plays in one-on-one situations.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. You've been covering and following Auburn football for quite some time, Brad. I'm curious on, for you personally, what's your favorite Auburn-Georgia memory? Is it some of the obvious ones? Is it maybe some that aren't so obvious that people don't think about all the time? What's your favorite Auburn-Georgia memory in the Deep South's oldest rivalry?
I was 25 years ago, I was working in Anniston at a sports station there. It was the first year I was 18. I was out of high school and I was running the board for old Auburn Network broadcast.
Yeah.
And Auburn went into Athens and just destroyed, absolutely destroyed Georgia. Ben Leard told some stories about that game on the most recent Tiger Talk. And, to watch that play out and to listen to the radio call as an 18-year-old, like just getting started and you know, working at my first ever radio station on those broadcasts, that's kind of a special nostalgic memory for sure. 2010, if we limit it to games in Athens, there haven't been that many wins that have taken place. But 2001, you know, Carnell Williams is a freshman getting 40-plus carries and Auburn holding Georgia off near the goal line toward, you know, at the end of the game. That was pretty great. Hadn't won over there since 2005. So not that many to choose from in recent history, but those are a couple that stand out.
Are you a fan of Athens in general? I mean, I know you've made that trip quite a few times. You like the trip to Athens?
It's fine. It's fine. It's you know, I don't like being barked. I don't like being barked at by grown men. I mean, I think that's a little silly, but, you know, otherwise it's okay. You know, for football, we don't stay in Athens. The team stays outside of Atlanta, so we just kind of drive in the next day. The only time that I've spent significant time in Athens has been on baseball trips. And I do like, look, they've got great places to eat, and they've got great nightlife. I'm a little sort of past the nightlife stage. I'm a little past that, but it's fine. As SEC towns go, it's fine.
Well, in terms of the team, I guess, a storyline going into this is it is the first road trip of the season, and you had five straight home games. There were a lot of expectations and fell short of those. But do you see any sort of hiccup opportunity with Auburn hitting the road for the first time and with it being in a tough place to play in Athens, Georgia?
Yeah, I think what you always worry about is starting on the road, starting poorly. Like Auburn can't go start the way it started against Cal last year in Berkeley. LSU and Texas A&M were road games where Auburn didn't start particularly well, and they were in holes early in those games. Again, Georgia hasn't been a team that has come out like a house of fire offensively, so maybe your risk of that is a little bit lower. But, yeah, you always worry about that a little, Like, you always take that into consideration when a team goes on the road for the first time. Auburn's back-end road games last year, Vanderbilt and Arkansas, were just the opposite. By the time they had gotten used to the road schedule, I guess you could say, they really clicked early on in those games. So you hope it's more like that than the early road games last year. Auburn is the third least penalized team in the SEC this year. And so you hope that continues to be a trend, because sometimes on the road you can have procedure penalties that you might not have at home. You deal with a hostile crowd for the first time. And, you know, hopefully there's enough with all the freshmen, and there's a ton of youth on this team. But the senior class is large, and with all those guys, you would hope that there's some composure and they're able to hold it together on that first road trip. But you have to think about it, sure.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. As we flip over to a little bit of recruiting, we got some news late last night. Brad, with Deuce Knight, the 2025 quarterback, has officially flipped from Notre Dame. He will be an Auburn Tiger as of now. He is committed to Auburn as of yesterday, last night, I guess. And so possibly the new future quarterback at Auburn. We'll see what the room looks like this time next year. But what a huge get for Hugh Freeze and this squad.
I think what any high-level commitment would tell you, Jacob, at this point, after the start that Auburn has had, which many people did not expect, and they were right not to expect it. I mean, it's fair to have expected a better record at this point in the year, but I think it says a lot that high-caliber recruits who probably have a little more access to the vision laid out and the plan that this staff has for what they're going to do moving forward. These guys have been at the games. These guys have seen the same thing that we've watched. They've had conversations with coaches and other players and other recruits, and they still believe very clearly in what this coaching staff and what the program is going to do moving forward. They see, and they're right up at it, field level, both like literally and metaphorically, they're at it on field level. They see how close this team is to turning a corner, and they do still want to be a part of it. I think more than anything, and there's significant talent, but more than the talent of one single commitment, I think the message it sends is pretty important.
Do you believe that Deuce Knight alone, I mean, we know the numbers, we know the stats, we know what he's bringing in terms of a physical standpoint and an athletic standpoint. I mean, do you think that he is a program changer, a difference maker at that quarterback spot? We don't know if he'll start or not when he gets here, but do you just think the future of what he could bring here could get to that level?
Well, I would stay out of specifically calling names when it comes to recruiting, because I'm just not sure on what the rules are on that. But, you know, any quarterback that commits to any school that has accolades of standing out and being the best at this high-profile camp or that high-profile camp and is charismatic and influential to other players, all these guys have, you know, they have personal stock. They have stock in themselves and plans and dreams and hopes of what they want to do, and they're not going to hitch their wagons to guys that they don't believe in. So I don't know. When it comes to one player or another being a program-changing quarterback, there haven't been many of those in history. Cam Newton is a program-changing quarterback. Boy, the number of other ones you could mention, you'd probably get them on one hand. So I think that's a lot to put on anybody. But I don't think you have to be a program-changing quarterback to lead a team to championships, no matter who you are.
That's fair. That's totally fair. And it's a massive hypothetical, obviously, and we'll see how that goes. But Auburn does pick up another commit. They get Deuce Knight in the 2025 class, the quarterback who's been on plenty of visits to Auburn, and he did flip from Notre Dame to the Tigers. One more thing, Brad, before we let you plug everything and get out of here. We're less than a month now from Auburn basketball hitting the floor, officially an exhibition game on the 1st of November. Have you had a chance to see this team now that they're practicing a little bit?
Not yet. They're going to practice in about 45 minutes. I thought about going over today, but I'm not sure I'm at the point with prep for Georgia to do that. But, you know, it's athletic. It's a deep roster. They've really loaded up on this roster to be able to compete at the top of the SEC. And I just love that year in and year out, that's where we are with the program, that the expectation is, you know, and in this league, which is deeper than it has ever, including those mid-80s runs that were very good for the Southeastern Conference, this league has never been deeper. And in the deepest league there is, Auburn's expectation is to be in contention for one of those top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. Top 5 in the Southeastern Conference gets you a top 4 or 5 seed nationally for sure.
And I'll say this too, on that side of town, I've seen the additions and the renovations at Plainsman Park, man. It took off overnight, it seemed like. They put up a metal frame and all of a sudden, bam, there's a bunch of concrete on it.
Well, and all of a sudden, we're 4 months away from the start of that season.
Golly.
So, you know, they're starting practice, and Coach Thompson, I think, has a media session coming up soon. And so a lot of intrigue over that. Very young, but incredibly talented, like top 3 recruiting class in the country type roster that's coming in. So, again, a proud program with lots of tradition continues to build and move forward. Jay Jacobs used to say you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. And Auburn is growing. That baseball program, again, already rich in tradition, is growing.
Lots going on in Auburn athletics. A lot of momentum as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins me every Thursday at 2:30. We're always appreciative of you and your time. Tell people what they need to know for the broadcast. First time on the road in Athens this season.
We'll be on the air at 11:30 on Saturday morning with the Tiger Tailgate Show on Wings 94.3. I guess that's after the show that precedes us. It'll be on at 9:30, right?
Yes, game day on Wings. That's right.
Game day on Wings, 9:30. Then the Tiger Tailgate Show at 11:30. We've got Takiyo Spikes, Ronnie Daniels, and others joining us on the Tiger Tailgate Show Saturday. And then kickoff is slated for either 2:45 or in the TV business, they have the 5-minute slide, which is possible. So the game will either start at 2:45 or 2:50 Central Time. But we've got your pregame coverage, and looking forward to breaking it down. I am very high on Auburn and the matchups in this game. I've been disappointed or wrong plenty before, but I think Auburn stacks up in this game man-to-man better than they have in a while going to Athens.
We shall see. And I know a 5-minute difference doesn't seem like all that much to people outside of our business, but man, that just throws everything off, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't know why we don't just start the game when we say we're going
to
start
when
the
it's scheduled to start. What a crazy idea.
If it's a 2:30 kick, it's a 2:30 kick, you know, but that's not what we do in our neighbor industry. So
that's right.
We adapt.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Good luck on Saturday. Safe travels to you and everybody at the Auburn Sports Network, and we appreciate your time, War Eagle.
You got it. War Eagle, Jake.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins me every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7. Take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. Reminder, when we start hour number two, we're going to have Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, will join us on the phone lines. All that coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one. Got a couple of minutes here before we get to another break and into hour number two. Thanks to Brad Law for the Auburn Sports Network. We kept him a little long, but we appreciate his time today talking Auburn, Georgia, talking Deuce Knight, talking a little basketball and baseball as well. And, you know, it's a fun conversation when you start getting into favorite memories, right? Because everybody has their own. And even if it's the same game, you have a different memory and a different reason that it's your favorite. And right with Auburn, Georgia, I mean, there's so many different ones. You do have 2013, which was obviously one of the craziest, greatest endings, or I guess greatest plays in the history of college football. I mean, I look at 2017, that's one that really sticks out to me. 05 does for sure. Of course, the last time Auburn won in Athens. But I said this yesterday, Brandon Cox was, you got to think, when I was growing up, Brandon Cox was the quarterback when I was very, very young. When I really was old enough to at least realize that I was watching football, Brandon Cox was the guy. And so one of my favorite Auburn quarterbacks of all time. And so that one sticks out to me. And 2017 sticks out to me as well, just because of how that season went, right? It was a magical year then. And I know there are limited choices in the last, 30 years, 25 years, I guess you could say, since Auburn had that little stretch in the late 90s, early 2000s. But everybody has their own. And the Auburn-Georgia game is one that I hope they find a way to keep around. I heard Bill and Dan talk a little bit about this yesterday, and it's a intriguing conversation, because there is a world where Auburn and Georgia don't play. There's a world where that doesn't happen, right? And so I hope they find a way to keep it around. I hope they find a way to make this happen. But regardless, we know we got it this Saturday. Auburn and Georgia, 2:30 between the hedges in Athens, Georgia. That's a big game. There's a big one going on tomorrow night, too, over in Phoenix City, Alabama. The Tigers of Auburn High School will take on the Central Red Devils. We'll talk to head coach Keith Etheridge about that coming up next. Plus, Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast, he'll join us coming up in hour number two, so be sure you don't want to miss it. Stick around, hour number two coming up.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find it posted on our station website right after the show today, ESPNAU.com. That's where you'll find it. That's where you'll find all the past shows, all the contests are there. We got the SEC Football Challenge going up there. Picks are due by Friday night at midnight, so be sure you get your stuff in there as well. But in hour number one, we talked about a lot of Deuce Knight as Auburn football, Auburn University, that is, picks up the commitment of the 2025 quarterback. Also talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network about the game Auburn will be playing against Georgia this weekend. First road trip for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers this season. So all of that was in hour number one. Here in hour number two, Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast will be with us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. And we're about to get to the phone lines with Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. But before we do, really quickly, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. Let's bring coach in now, Coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football. Coach, how are you today, man? Great to talk to you.
What's up, Jacob? How's it going, man?
You doing all right, Coach?
Doing awesome.
Good.
Doing awesome.
Good. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had you on the show, with last week's all craziness, right, with the weather and the game being canceled ultimately between Auburn High School and Moody. And I know you were, disappointed for the game not to happen, for the players and for the fans. And I know you were disappointed for us radio guys, but for you, it was a homecoming for you, and I just hate that it didn't happen.
Yeah, it stinks. I think our guys wanted to play. Of course, we wanted to go back to Birmingham and take the little road trip and play a good football team, but we didn't get the opportunity to. And we tried to reschedule it and do some things that just didn't happen. So you know, it's disappointing, but you know, we got to look ahead now. We got to take care of business this week, and you know, we got a big one to look forward to.
Absolutely. Well, tomorrow is Auburn High and Central Phoenix City. It's the Tigers and the Red Devils, number one versus number two, two teams that are 5-0. But want to talk to you about your team and where they stand right now with what was I've been calling it a non-traditional bye week because you prepared for Moody. The game didn't happen, so you didn't have to play a game, but then you quickly had to flip the page to Central Phoenix City. They did the same thing, right? Their game against IMG was canceled. So where's your team at right now in terms of just physically and mentally, emotionally, everything like that? Where's the team stand right now?
I think we're good. You know, I think that, you know, of course, you're 5-6 games in, so you're a little banged up. Everybody's got some guys with some bumps and some bruises and stuff. But, you know, all in all, I think we're good. Mentally, we're really good. I think that we're playing good on both sides of the ball. You know, defensively, I think we're giving up right around 12 points a game, which is really good. And, you know, offensively, we're scoring 46 points a game. So that's really good, too. So I think we're top five in both categories, top three in both categories in the state, so in 7A.
And it's just, it seems to be on all sides of things, right? You mentioned it. Offense is scoring it well. Defense is playing lights out. And the last time you guys were on the field was against Jag, 47-0 at home at Duck Sanford Stadium. That was just another performance where everything seemed to go right for you guys.
Yeah. You know, most of our guys got to play the first half and maybe a couple plays the second half. And then we got all those young guys in. But, you know, Jackson Kilgore was 19 of 20 passing. Omar Mabson had another game where he was over 100 yards rushing. Peyton Plott, you know, he touched the ball four times in the first quarter, had 130 yards and three touchdowns. So, I mean, you know, the guys have been playing really good. Our offensive line has been playing great, you know. Our defensive front has been putting a lot of pressure on opposing teams' quarterbacks and stopping the run. So it's you know, we've been playing well right now. We just got to continue that. We got to play even better, you know, Friday night because we're playing the number one team in the state.
Well, tell us a little bit about that Central Phoenix City team, the Red Devils 5-0. You mentioned number one team in 7A right now. I consider that number one team in the state. I consider the number two ranking for us, the number two ranking in the state being 7A football. So tell us a little bit about that Central Phoenix City team for fans that haven't been able to see them yet, what they can expect from the Red Devils tomorrow night.
Very athletic team. You know, Central's always going to have great athletes. They're very well coached. You know, Pat does a great job with those guys over there. Defensively, you know, they're big up front, fast and run. You know, they get to the football, a lot of athletes over on that defensive side. Offensively, they're huge on the offensive front. You know, got a guy that's already committed to Alabama, another kid that's got multiple Power Five offers. You know, they're really big up front. You know, they got two really good running backs who are electric. They got their quarterback, a really, really good player. He's he can put the ball on the money. You know, great at throwing the timing routes, you know, and got some big-time receivers. I think number five's committed to Miami. They got another couple guys with D1 offers. So they're really good.
Well, Central is extremely talented. There's a reason they're the number one team, and they always have that sort of talent, right? They always have that type of a team, but so do you guys. And so if you had to kind of elaborate a little bit on what you feel your team is going to be able to do or what you hope they can do tomorrow night on the road at Central, we know the reputation of what it means to go on the road and especially in a hostile environment over there, but what do you expect or hope that your team can do well tomorrow night?
Well, you know, anytime you're in a game like this, you got to make sure they take care of the football. You know, don't turn the ball over. Eliminate costly penalties. You know, no pre-snap penalties, things like that. I know you hear that every week from me, but that's really the key to the games. You know, in high school football, you know, just be fundamentally sound. We got to be able to establish some run. You know, so it opens up the pass and vice versa. We got to stay multiple. You know. Keep them a little off balance, you know. Defensively, you know, we got to mix our blitzes up and and try to get to the quarterback. And, you know, when we bring him, we got to get there. You know, we can't allow him to extend plays with his legs. And because if you give them a lot of time, their receivers are really good. You know, so can't allow them to have all that time to get open and get downfield. So, you know, I'm just hoping that we play smart football. We don't turn the ball over. We eliminate pre-snap penalties and give ourselves a shot. You know, I think that, you know, like you said, Central's number one team in the state. They're defending state champions. They're not that for no reason. They're ranked 15th nationally. So they're a great football team.
Well, one, I'll admit this, you know, calling for this Auburn High team, and we're talking with Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Calling for this team this year, man, it's just, we're having so much fun in the booth because this team is always doing something, whether it's offensively or defensively, there's always a play being made, and particularly on the offensive side. Coach, I've really enjoyed watching the emergence of Josh Askew, Peyton Plott, we knew Omar Mapps, and even Charlie Ward back there, his backup. I mean, yep. Watching these guys just grow and emerge and become really key, crucial points of this offense, man, it's a really fun thing to watch.
Yeah, the you know, and Jackson does a really good job of spreading the ball around. You don't, you know, we don't have to turn around. And, you know, Omar is an All-American kid. You know, he's an All-American running back. He's definitely going to be a kid that you probably see playing the Under Armour All-American game. You see all this stuff from him because he's that type of player. But we don't have to turn around and hand it to him, you know, 30 times a game.
Right.
Like a lot of people have to do with those types of players because, you know, and we don't want to put that kind of pressure on a junior, you know, who's got a lot of football ahead of him. You know, we've got other guys who can make plays, and I think that Jackson Kilgore does a good job of spreading the ball around. Omar's going to touch the ball. That's a fact. You know, Askew's going to touch the ball. Peyton Plott's going to touch the ball. Tony Welch is going to touch the ball. You know, Charlie Ward's going to touch the ball. Cash Reef. We got a lot of guys who can make plays out there for us. And, you know, it's like you said, it's really fun to watch because you don't know who emerges in each individual game. You know, we've had five football games, and we've had three different guys lead us in receiving, you know. We've had, you know, five football games, and we've had, you know, our quarterback completing 90 of 116 balls, which is 78%. That's a crazy number. You know, Omar Mapson's got 15 touchdowns, you know. And so a lot of guys are making plays. I mean, you got guys on the defensive side like Alex Gamston, who's got three interceptions already.
Absolutely, yep.
Jay Collins got two or three interceptions, you know. Caleb Pitts is making play after play after big play. C.J. Jackson, you know, all those guys are having big years for us. And it's like you said, it's on both sides, you know, and it's exciting to watch. It's awesome to coach because we got such good young men that they take their personal, you know, their individual accolades and they put them to the side and they want to win, you know.
And this team is winning, man. You guys are 5-0, have a chance to be 6-0 when you head on the road tomorrow night. Auburn High School at Central Phoenix City. The Tigers and the Red Devils doing battle once again. This game is always good. It's always a classic. There's always something that happens when these two teams get together, and you're talking about two of the best teams in the state of Alabama. One more question before we let you get out of here, Coach. A win like this, what would it mean for this team this season and the rest of the way? What would a win tomorrow night mean for the rest of the season? For your team?
Well, it's big. You know, it gives you a kind of foothold with the region. You know, of course, we would still have Carver Montgomery left. We would still have Dothan left and Smith Station to play. But if you come in and you beat a team like Central Phoenix, it gives you that confidence. You know, they're the number one team in the state and they're the number one team for a reason because they won the state championship last year and they're undefeated this year. They've got players all over the place. And you know, it would be a huge confidence boost for us, even though our kids got a lot of confidence right now. But winning a game like this, you know, it solidifies some things. It tells everybody that, you know, Auburn High School is for real, and you know, we're here to you know, compete for a state championship. You know, we want to win the region championship. I think the last time Auburn won the region championship was 2020. So you know, I think They said Central Phoenix has won 9 of the last 10 region championships in this region. So, you know, we need to get that, try to get that region championship under our belt also.
That's right. Get that thing turned around. That's absolutely right. Well, I know it's not a long trip, but it's a big one tomorrow to Central Phoenix City. You guys have a safe travels. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be on the air calling the game. And, man, we're just really, really looking forward to it. I know you guys are as well. Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, he joins me every Thursday here at 3 o'clock during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Coach, thanks so much for your time, man. Go Tigers and go get them tomorrow night.
Thanks, Jacob. Go Tigers.
There you go. That's Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. Joins me every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7. Love that guy, man. He's just full of energy, just really, really high on this team, as am I, because they've got a lot of talent. And it's no easy task to go to Central and get a win in Phoenix City, but Auburn High is going to try and do that tomorrow night. If you can't or just don't want to make the trip to Phoenix City tomorrow night, you can catch the radio broadcast over on our sister station, Wings 94.3. WingsFM.com or the Radio Alabama app. We will be on the air. Pregame starts at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7. Auburn and Central Phoenix City. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton on the Auburn Hive Sports Network. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break here in hour number 2. We'll have a quick segment when we come back, and then the guest train continues. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he joins us coming up at 3:30. But if you want to get in on the show, now's your chance. 334-321-1390. Back after this here in hour number 2.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Shout out Coach Keith Etheridge, Auburn High School football. That's my guy, man. He is awesome. Love talking to him. Love visiting with him. He joins me on the show every Thursday. I go and talk to him in the week, and he's just a ball of life, ball of joy, man. Really enjoy spending time with him, and always grateful for his time on Thursdays at 3 o'clock here on ESPN. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You got about 10 minutes before we take another break. We'll get to Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. We'll talk to him. His biggest takeaways from a week ago, right from last weekend in college football around the Southeastern Conference, and then get his picks for this weekend around the SEC. And you know, last weekend had some teams that were off. Of course, you had Auburn, Oklahoma, and Alabama, and Georgia. You got some teams off this weekend, too, but I think some fascinating matchups. I really, really think there are some sneaky good games. And it starts at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, I guess, with number 9 Missouri on the road at number 25 Texas A&M. A top 25 matchup. Yeah, I know. I know that Texas A&M somehow, some way, has found themselves still inside the top 25. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't get it how they continue to get the love to be in the top 25, because the only two real teams they've beaten are Florida, who's bad, and Arkansas, who's not bad but not good. And I don't care that they beat Auburn. That's not a really good measuring stick right now. And they lost to a Notre Dame team, 23-13. You remember that in the opener? Yeah, that's an A&M team that lost to them. So this is their second big test of the year. And I just don't think they're a top 25 team. I think Arkansas had every chance to win that game a week ago, and they didn't do it. And so I'm not sold on Texas A&M. I'm not going to go out and say I'm overly sold on Missouri either, but I trust them a lot more than I do Texas A&M. And in case you haven't looked, have you seen what Las Vegas says? Vegas has A&M as a 2.5-point favorite over a top 10 team. Isn't that wild to anybody else? I don't know. Blows my mind. I don't know. Just something smells wrong here. Vegas always knows. They always know something, but I'm not going to officially make my picks. We'll do that on the show tomorrow when we do the SEC Football Challenge, but I like Missouri, man. I don't see if, I'll say this as I pull up Missouri's schedule. They haven't played anybody either, right? We gave them a lot of credit for their win over Boston College, which that turns out to not be all that great. And they had to sneak past Vanderbilt. You remember that game? They had to sneak past Vanderbilt in double overtime at home. But if Missouri wants to be anything this season, you can't afford to lose this game because you still have Auburn on the schedule. I know, Auburn on the schedule, at Alabama, Oklahoma, at South Carolina, and Arkansas is on that schedule too. Like, Missouri cannot afford to drop this game against Texas A&M. And they need another good win because they're not going to go on the road and beat Alabama. They're going to struggle with Oklahoma. And I guess people believe in South Carolina. I don't know. But if they want to be something, you got to go out and beat Texas A&M this weekend. I can't wrap my head around the fact that A&M is favored in this football game. You also have Auburn, Georgia, of course, on Saturday. This line has continued to move pretty much all week long. It's been between 23, 24. I've seen it dip into 22, but not all that much. We'll talk more about that as the week goes on. How about this one? This, again, I said that people, for whatever reason, are believing in South Carolina. They've got a real opportunity to prove the doubters wrong. I am the doubters, okay? They have a real shot to prove somebody like me wrong this weekend. They're a 3-1 football team. They have a win over Kentucky, which seems to be pretty good. A 31-6 win over Kentucky, right? You remember that. That's when we all wrote off Kentucky. They hung around with LSU. Probably should have beat LSU. Just couldn't get it done. And they're coming off a win against Akron, right? That doesn't mean much. They have a top 15 Ole Miss team coming to town this weekend. That's an Ole Miss team that, you remember, got beat at home by Kentucky last week. South Carolina has a real shot right here, ladies and gentlemen. They could almost knock Ole Miss out of a college football playoff. Could you imagine? Could you imagine an Ole Miss team that was destined, determined, bound to make the college football playoff, and they could all of a sudden turn around and be knocked out by week six of the season? Because, let me remind you of what Ole Miss has on the rest of their schedule. At LSU next week. Oklahoma comes to town in 2 weeks after that, after a bye. At Arkansas. Georgia comes to town. And then Florida and Mississippi State. So I would say that Ole Miss has three legitimate tests left and two iffy games. Iffy being South Carolina and Arkansas. Both of those on the road. Ole Miss, you cannot afford to lose this game. You have to go and take care of South Carolina. Now, Ole Miss is a 9-point favorite. They are. They're a 9-point favorite here. A lot of people picking South Carolina to either cover or win outright. I just don't know. I think this could be a really good game. I hope it is. I hope it's a good game. Because, man, Ole Miss looked terrible a week ago. I think that's a lot of credit to that Kentucky defense, the one that we saw against Georgia, right? Hold them to, what, 13 points it was? 13 points is what Kentucky's defense held Georgia's offense. They held Ole Miss to 17 a week ago. That Stoops defense is legit. Ole Miss needs a bounce back game here, and South Carolina can put a fork in them this weekend. How about this one? Alabama, now the number one team in the country. Did we talk about that this week? I don't know if we ever did. I don't know if we ever got to that conversation. The fact that Alabama, after beating Georgia this weekend, this past weekend, jumped to the number one team in the country. Do I believe that? Do I think they're the number one team? No, but that's where the AP poll puts them. Looks good for TV. Sounds good for radio. Looks good in the paper. So that's what they do. Alabama, the number one team in the country at Vanderbilt, taking on the Commodores in Nashville. They're favored by 22.5. And I've got to believe that this is the smallest spread between these two teams in quite some time. Give all of the credit to the Vanderbilt team for that. Because Alabama's good. And Alabama's going to win this game. And they're going to win it by numerous scores. They're just uber talented. And they out-talent Vanderbilt at every single position times three. But Vanderbilt is not a bad team. This is not the Vanderbilt of old. Yes, they lost to Georgia State. I know. But they almost beat Missouri. They almost beat them. They had them. It took two overtimes for Missouri to take them down. Could they give Alabama a fight this weekend? They're going to try. They're going to try. And poor Vanderbilt. They played number 7 Missouri. They got number 1 Alabama. They've got Kentucky. Number 2 Texas. Auburn. South Carolina. 13 LSU. And 4 Tennessee. That's brutal. Absolutely brutal. But they've got the number 1 team in their house this weekend. I don't know. We'll see. I hope they do. I hope they at least play well. I hope that they are able to expose a little bit of Alabama somehow. And if anybody can do it, it's a quarterback like Diego Pavia. All right, a couple of other games going on around the SEC. Reminder, we're going to talk about all of these and more with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC coming up after the bottom of the hour break. Number 4, Tennessee. All right, number 4, Tennessee, 4-0, 1-0 in the SEC, right? They got their win over Oklahoma. They had a bye week, and now they head to Fayetteville. They head to Fayetteville where they'll take on the Hogs of Arkansas, who are 3-2 and legitimately could be 5-0. Could be 5-0, could Arkansas, but they're not. But what they are is a 2-touchdown underdog at home against Tennessee. About 13.5 is where it sits right now. That's a flirty line, if you will. That's a line, a betting line that a lot of people, I bet, are going to jump on Tennessee 13.5. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. If Arkansas plays them like they've played everybody else, this will be a one-score game. But the question is, can that defense hold? Can that defense hold against Tennessee, an offense that sputtered down the stretch against that Oklahoma squad, who has one of the better defenses in the SEC? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. Boy, what a weird matchup. You don't see Tennessee-Arkansas all that much. Fascinated by that one. And then an SEC team that's in action in non-conference play this late in the season, Florida and UCF, the Gators hosting Gus Malzahn and UCF, the Fighting Knights or whatever they call themselves down there. Could Billy Napier get a win? An in-state win? Oh, goodness, I don't know. It wouldn't save his job, but be fun for a little bit, I guess. We'll talk to Chris Gordy about that and a whole lot more. He's the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and he joins us coming up next.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. We get to the phone lines once again as Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast is with us. Chris, good to talk to you, my man. And it's hard to believe that college football season, we're approaching the halfway point, my man.
Yeah, approaching the halfway point, and you know what? If we were giving out mid-semester grades for Auburn, they might be getting a D. I don't think it would be very glowing.
Well, D's get degrees is what the motto was for me in college. So Auburn is still rolling. They're still doing okay. They've got time to fix it, Chris. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, I mean plenty of time. I mean it's not like that schedule gets any tougher looking ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk about baseball? I didn't know how the Astros did. I just want to check in on that.
Hey, all good things must come to an end, all right? It's one thing to say they've won, what, 7 straight ALCSs they've been to, and that came to an end. But, hey, the Yankees are still chasing their first World Series since 2009. So we'll see how they do there.
As long as that doesn't happen, I'm okay. The world will be a better place. The world is a better place when the Yankees are not winning. And no, I hate that your Astros lost for you anyway. And I mean, your schedule should free up a little bit now, though. Right now, it's just full on college football for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I miss doing our segments from like the field at Fenway Park and stuff, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually debating. I may actually go up to College Station for Mizzou A&M on Saturday morning. So, yeah, plenty more college football visits for me rather than baseball.
Awesome. Well, let's go backwards a little bit. Let's go look back at last weekend. Don't want to dive into a ton of the games, but the obvious ones, Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn, Oklahoma. Just your quick takeaways from what was a week ago.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, let's just start. I mean, obviously the Alabama Georgia game was an epic one, and you know, for Alabama to get up 30-7 at halftime and just dominate Georgia. I mean, that was the worst half of football we've seen in the Kirby Smart era at Georgia. I think that was just, we were shocked. I mean, I was frankly just taken aback by how bad they played. And then equally on the other side, to fight back and find a way to get back into it, and not just get back into it, but take a lead, only to see that lead evaporate very quickly because Ryan Williams is like a 27-year-old in a 17-year-old's body playing ridiculous football. So, yeah, I mean, that game lived up to the hype that we had given it. You know, I thought, you know, I've been saying for weeks, I thought, you know, it was Ole Miss for real because, you know, I couldn't tell because they were playing a bunch of high school teams. Well, once again, it comes back to hurt Lane Kiffin again. Like, yeah, you keep playing high school teams and – you know, you play somebody that punches you in the mouth, how do you respond? And they lose to Kentucky. So now Ole Miss, very little room for error. I mean, if they lose in Baton Rouge next week, they are, I mean, it's we're talking about Lane Kiffin. Hey, man, like, are you the right guy for this job is what they're going to start saying at Ole Miss. So, yeah, that, I was disappointed in Arkansas's effort against A&M. I really thought they had a chance. I mean, they had every chance in the world to win that game, but you know, they costly turnovers from Taylen Green and they just, they couldn't get it done. You know, Mississippi State put up a better fight in the first half against Texas than I think anybody thought. And then finally Arch Manning kind of settled down and they were able to pull away. You know, LSU impressive. I kept thinking the tough Alabama was going to score a bunch of points on them, and that was probably LSU's best defensive effort of the year. So that was good for them. And then, you know, Peyton Thorne played about 3.5 quarters of good football and decided to make a stupid play at the end that cost them. And Auburn absolutely should have won that game against Oklahoma, and they gave it away. And now we sit here saying, what is the future of Hugh Freeze on the Plains if this is a 4 or 5 win season?
Well, I'll turn that back on you. Chris, what is the future of Hugh Freeze if the season goes awry and they can't get – I mean, everybody makes the line now. It's like, oh, let's see if Auburn can make a bowl game, but – haven't we gotten to the point where nobody cares about a bowl game anymore? So what is the future of Hugh Freeze?
Yeah, I think the general consensus is always if you go 6-6 and you get to a bowl game, it's hard to fire you, right? I mean, you had a bad season or an average season, but it wasn't an awful season. So I think that there's always that line. To me, as they sit here right now, you know, with the recruiting, I mean, that's the big question. What's the class rank? Number 3 right now in the 24/7 composite. You know, if Auburn goes 5-7 and Hugh Freeze has a top 5 recruiting class, which, by the way, we're going to find out very quickly because when the season ends, that coming week you sign your early signing period.
Right.
So it's not like there's going to be this huge drop-off, you know, where a bunch of kids don't sign or whatever. Like, we'll kind of know a week after the season ends on, you know, what bowl game, if this team got to a bowl game. If they didn't, then they went 4-8 or 5-7. But if it's a top 5 recruiting class, I think you've got to give him another year to prove what he can do. And so that's the tough part. And I bring it, you know, it's a little bit comparable to Texas a couple years ago when Steve Sarkisian went 5-7 and it was looking bleak at Texas, but he had a top recruiting class coming in. And he had a commitment from the world famous Arch Manning, which now, is it Deuce Knight that Auburn's got their commitment from?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in, but I do think you got to give a coach a little bit of a leeway to get his guys in there and build it this way. Look, his hitching his wagon to Peyton Thorne has gone sideways last year and this year. It's not been good. But this thing could turn around very quickly if one of these quarterbacks in these recruiting classes hit, because you're starting to see a lot of talent build at all the other spots, particularly wide receiver. I mean, who doesn't feel good about the Auburn wide receiver spot moving forward? So it's fixable. It's not pretty, but if he can hang on to a top 5 recruiting class for next year, I think, you know, the future of Hugh Freeze is back in Auburn next year.
Talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We look ahead to what's on the schedule this weekend, Chris, and it's there's not a ton of games, but I do think they all have some different intriguing storyline. I mean, even starting at 11 a.m., Missouri and Texas A&M, which Tell me why this is a top 25 matchup. Tell me why Texas A&M still finds themselves as a ranked team. I don't get it.
Well, it wasn't on Sunday morning when the first AP poll came out, and then they had to come out and say, I think it was Ralph Russo, was like, hey, I'm sorry, there was a mistake with the computer. It actually had it had Texas A&M tied as the number 25 team.
Shocker.
And so, yeah, so then we had to come out and go, oh, well, it was actually UNLV and Texas A&M tied for the 25th spot in the AP poll. But, the coaches' poll is even crazier. They had them number 21. But I'm with you. I mean, look, they've been fine. Marcel Reed has filled in fine for Connor Wigman, and they've kind of done it with smoke and mirrors. The defense isn't a world beater. But they've been running the football very well. Le'Veon Moss has really emerged as one of the better rushers in the SEC so far this year. And they were able to run the football on Florida. They were able to run the football on Arkansas. And so, that's their bread and butter. But I just wonder how many more weeks can they get by with Marcel Reed completing 54% of his passes. This is going to be the toughest test. I mean, Missouri, Luther Burden will be the best wide receiver that A&M has seen this year. Can they cover him one-on-one? That's going to be the big question. And this honestly could be the breakout game we've been waiting for Brady Cook. He's been okay this year, but we haven't seen Brady Cook, the highly touted quarterback that won Mizzou a lot of games last year. We haven't seen him emerge yet this year. So this might be the game, that they can do it on. I think they're a little susceptible to the run, too, A&M is. So maybe this is a big day for Noel and the guys back there in the backfield. We'll see. But, I'm with you. I mean, I feel like this is also a prove-it game for Eli Drinkwitz. Like, bro, sure, you were awesome last year. You beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Hell yeah. But everybody's been looking at them sideways this year going, can they do it again? And a close home win against Boston College, a close home win against Vanderbilt. I think we're looking at Mizzou going, are you frauds? Like, you're a top 10 team, but are you just a fraud? To me, this is a weed out the fraud game. You got to go into College Station. It's an early game. It's going to be hot. I think temps in the upper 80s. So let's see what Missouri team emerges. And if Missouri wins if they come out of College Station with another close win, I think you just tip your cap and say, that's who this Mizzou team is. They're undefeated. They've got a lot of close games, but they're undefeated.
Yeah, I think so too. And I said earlier that I feel for Missouri, with the games they have left on their schedule, they can't afford to lose against Texas A&M because it's by no means the best team they're going to see the rest of the way. So we'll see what Missouri does against Texas A&M. A couple of teams that are at home as double-digit underdogs. Arkansas gets the number 4-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. And speaking of Vanderbilt, they're at home. They get the number 1 team in the country with Alabama coming to town. A spread of 22.5. That's got to be, like, the smallest one it's been maybe in the history of these two teams playing.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think everybody's jumping on the Alabama train going, oh, well, it's Bama, Bama's Bama, and they're going to roll. But it is, Diego Pavia and that Vandy offense have moved the ball well. And I think that they, I think they can present some challenges for Alabama if he can run the football and move the chains. But I think there's also the hangover factor. Alabama just had their most emotional win they've had in a while. And, we normally see after that a team has a letdown spot.
Here
so
we go.
I don't think Vandy can pull off the upset.
Chris. Just pull the trigger. You want to.
But it wouldn't shock me if this game was like 20-13 at halftime and then Bama pulls away and wins like, 40-17,
right,
something like that. But I could see a world where that's kind of the case, but I don't know, man. I think as much as we were singing Bama's praises on Monday, and I was one of them saying that was a hell of a win, and the Kalen DeBoer error, he gets his feather in his cap, marquee win. I think we'd be fools not to recognize that Alabama offense went not 3-and-out, but they went punt, punt, punt in that second half. And they let Georgia back in that football game. And everybody knows when you get a lead on a team, you got your foot on their throat, you got to put an end to it. And Bama did not put Georgia away. And they left that door open. That could come back to bite them with road trips at LSU, at Tennessee. Bama's still got some potential losses on their schedule.
Yeah, don't mess around, man. When you have your throat on Vanderbilt, don't let them come back now. That Diego Pavia, he's good for a win or two. We know that here on the Plains. What do you think about Tennessee, Arkansas? The Hogs are 3-2, very well could be 5-0, and they're double-digit home underdogs against Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. My buddies who are Tennessee fans that I talk to every week are just, they are chicken little. Like, they are just, they can never enjoy anything because they feel like every time Tennessee is in a great spot and they're getting talked about,
they're waiting
they
for
disappoint.
It.
You know, this happened a couple years ago in the Hendon Hooker era. Remember, they go into South Carolina and Spencer Rattler pulls off the upset at Tennessee. And it's just, you know, every time you start believing you're a Vols fan, something comes crashing back down to earth. So, yeah, two of my buddies think that this thing is the danger spot and that Tennessee might lose this game. Yes, John Neighbors, our buddy who does Locked On Razorbacks, he'll tell you he is a full believer that Arkansas is a bunch of frauds and that they're going to get their brains beat. So, look, Taylor Green's got to protect the football, but Jaquindon Jackson he had a rough week last week and he still leads the SEC in rushing. So, you know, to me, this is a battle of two really good running backs in Samson and Jackson. Which quarterback doesn't make the mistakes? Because keep in mind, Nico Iamaleava has not had that game yet where he throws two interceptions or throws a pick six, and it costs them. That could happen this week, but I do think, you know, maybe it's close at the end, but I still think Tennessee would.
Chris, Billy Napier's going to save his job this week and beat UCF when Gus Malzahn comes down to Gainesville, where Florida is an underdog yet again inside of their own stadium.
Well, I'll tell you, I everybody was hyping up UCF the last couple weeks, and I kept going, look, I've seen KJ Jefferson before, and he's a very up-and-down, inconsistent quarterback. And when I looked at the betting lines last week and I saw Colorado was an underdog, not just an underdog, but like a heavy underdog at UCF.
Yeah.
I said, let me jump on Shador Sanders in the Colorado Buffalo. Sure enough, they won going away. And I'm still shocked that UCF is still a road favorite at Florida. I just think Florida, they got some talent. I think they're the better team than UCF. I just, you know, when I look at their roster. So, to me, this comes down to coaching. Can Billy Napier put it all together this week? If he does, I think he has a chance to maybe salvage this thing for a couple more weeks. If he loses, and let's just say it's a blowout. Let's say UCF wins with a crooked number. I think we could be talking about Billy Napier no longer the head coach of Florida next week.
Wow. You think it could get to that already this season? You think it could get there?
I don't think so. Like, me personally, I don't think that, but I've been told by multiple people that
wow.
If he loses this game, he's out.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. It would be like wow, they actually did it. But it wouldn't be like, wow, that's so crazy. Why in the world would you do that? Not that I would subscribe to that, but yeah, we'll see. Florida hosting UCF this weekend. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, is with us every Thursday. I put it off long enough, Chris. Tell me why Auburn, who's 2-3, has no business being in this game. Tell me why they're going to go to Athens and take down Georgia on Saturday.
Yeah, you hear the silence. That's how I answer that question. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, look, I want to buy what Kirby's selling where he goes, this Auburn team, man, you take out those turnovers. I mean, they move the football.
Yeah.
Look at the offensive numbers. At the end of the day, though, the turnovers are you. This isn't like a fluke one-off where, yeah, one game we just turned the ball over a ton. This is who Auburn has become. And last week, yeah, it was, man, Peyton Thorne played great until that last bonehead play. But, yeah, he still made the bonehead play. So, you know, you keep putting lipstick on a pig. This is who you are. You turn the ball over a lot. I will say if Auburn's going to have any chance, the turnover margin has to be in their favor. They cannot, like, Auburn has to have zero turnovers, and they have to get one or two from Georgia. Now, Carson Beck is coming off of his first career game where he threw multiple interceptions. So maybe that bodes well for you. Maybe he comes out and throws a couple picks to Auburn. But it's going to take something like that, man. I mean, you're going to need some monumental plays in your favor. But, you know, can Jarquez Hunter run the football on him? Yeah, I think he can. Can some of those receivers get loose on some big plays? Keandre Lambert-Smith? Yeah, I think they can do that. But again, you turn the ball over once, Auburn's not winning this football game. So they're going to have to play their cleanest game of the season. And I just think you're going to have a very frustrated, angry Georgia team looking to take out their frustrations after a tough loss last week. I love what Kirby did when they were walking off the field. He took towels off a guy's head, said, don't you hang your head. Hold your head up high. You played your ass off to get back in this game. You know, carry your head high. I think they're bringing that mentality into this week against Auburn. I think it's a trouble spot. That line at 23, I've had multiple people tell me, Georgia, name your number. 23 is not high enough.
Known Auburn hater Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Tell people where they can find your stuff, my man.
Hey, man, I liked Auburn before the season. You guys talked me into nine wins for you freaks.
Yeah, you did. I'll give you credit.
But, yeah, check out Locked On SEC. We had a really good interview with Trey Wallace from OutKick earlier this week, who was on the field firsthand, gave us a firsthand account of the Alabama-Georgia game. And, yeah, check us out. We got our preview dropping in 10 minutes, our SEC squad episode with all of our other Locked On SEC hosts. So just check it out, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast.
Chris, always appreciate your time, my man. Take it easy. Try to watch some baseball games and not be depressed, even though the Astros aren't there, okay?
Yeah, man, I'm getting ready for Auburn college baseball season. I'm ready for that to come.
We are too. Hey, we got to get basketball first. Don't you dare wish away basketball season. Uh-uh. Not here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot y'all are a basketball school. That's right.
Hey, man, you said it, not us. Have a great rest of your week and weekend. We'll have you on again next week, Chris.
All right, see ya.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Go check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your audio podcast. Back after this to wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Been a great show today, man. I told you, Thursdays are busy around here, and we have so much fun. It's just guest after guest after guest, and it's a lot of fun. I hate that it's limited for you to be involved in terms of calling and texting and things like that, but in terms of guests, man, it doesn't get better than Thursdays. We had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network back in hour number one. We had Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge with us at 3 o'clock, and then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Go check him out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. All of that and more was on the show today, so if you missed any of that, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You'll find our show just trimmed down, uploaded to the website for you at ESPNAU.com, so be sure you go and check that out. I want to shout out the Orthopedic Clinic. They bring you the second hour of my show On the Line each and every day here on ESPN from 3 to 4. So we appreciate them doing that. Check them out online at theorthoclinic.com. Here's what's coming up on tomorrow's show. It's a free-for-all Friday, so we'll all be in the studio. Myself, Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin will probably be here. Haven't heard from him. I'm sure he'll be here. At least Scott's at home, so there's a good chance he'll be in the studio. I'll be in the studio the entire show and then heading out immediately after the show, heading down to Phoenix City. So shooting down about 45 minutes to Central Phoenix City. Auburn High School taking on Central tomorrow night. I am so excited for my first ever Auburn Central game. I hate that it's there. I wish we were at home at the Duck, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. And so looking forward to that tomorrow night. We'll plug all of that stuff for you tomorrow. You can catch that on Wings 94.3. And, man, I'll tell you what, just to give you a personal insight on what my weekend looks like, this is a crazy weekend. Today's been a crazy day. Tomorrow, got the normal day, the show, then Auburn High and Central Phoenix City. Then I'm driving to Atlanta Saturday morning, flying to Ohio. I'm the best man at my best friend's wedding. Fly back on Sunday, and I'm back right here on Monday to be with you. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I know. We'll see if I survive it or not. I'll tell you more about it on tomorrow's show, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.